You turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. And as you're turning to John 14, I like to look ahead, and we'll soon be finishing this series on the promises of God. And I thought I was headed elsewhere, but as I'm praying, I'm feeling led towards the book of Revelation, the apocalypse. And so you pray with me, because I want the Lord to speak to us in these latter days. I want us to be a church that's hearing the current voice of the Lord. I want to hear His voice this morning, don't you? Amen. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? John 14, I'm going to read three verses. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I don't know if it came to your attention or not, but in verse 2 and then in verse 3, there's a word I want to focus on, and it's the word place. Place. I go to prepare a place for you. And then in verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you." I want to preach this morning on the promise of a place. The promise of a place. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that promise this morning? Heavenly Father, shut up our hearts to the truth. May this be an eternal and a holy moment we have together in this message, Lord. Take the Holy Spirit and make the words of Christ fresh and real. Lord, this is your church. These are your people. Bless them this morning. Touch them in Jesus' name through the preaching of the word. You can be seated this morning. I'm going to help you out. It's really not as late as it seems because of the time change. It's just now 10:30, and so I'm going to preach long enough so the hunger comes. So we'll wait, you know, okay? That'll help you out. I'm so thoughtful, aren't I? The promise of a place. Now, many today, because making reservations on a trip for your lodging is so easy today. You can do it on your smartphone. You can do it on the internet. You can even call ahead. Most folks don't remember how it used to be when you traveled. You didn't know where to find the motel. You just, when you begin to get tired, you would begin shopping for a motel. And I could remember, as we've made a trip every summer way out west, I remember when it got time to get a motel, we'd come to a little town and we'd stop at this motel and need a room. "I'm sorry, we're out of rooms. We don't have a room for you." So you go to the next one and the next one, and that town was full, and you drive on to the next, and it would just wear you out trying to find a room. And you hated to hear that. "I'm sorry, but we simply don't have a room for you." Now today, we can take a journey, and we can, right there as we're on the road through our smartphones, we can reserve the place and have it ready when we get there. We can even do it when it's at the next exit. But I want you to know, all of us are on a journey. A much more important journey. And I want you to imagine what it would be like, instead of a motel counter and the clerk there, what it would be like to get to the gates of heaven. And you say, "I've got a reservation." And the clerk would say, "Okay, what's your name?" And you say, "I'm John Doe." "Are you sure you made reservations?" "Yes, I'm sure." And he looks at the computer, then he looks up at you and says, "I'm sorry, but we don't have a reservation for you. We don't have a place for you." Wouldn't that be an awful occasion to come to eternity and to discover the reservation was not made in heaven? There wasn't a room for us in heaven. But you know, Jesus said it doesn't have to be that way. He said when we come to eternity and we give our name to whoever guards the gate, even they're going to look. And if we've been born again, they're going to say, yes, it's right there. There's your name. We've got your room already. Come on in. Jesus said that He has went to prepare a place for us. How many's ever been, maybe it's to a wedding reception, but it's the one where they put the names on the placards and you go around looking for your name. Amen. Even though it's just a meal, there's always something about when you make that connection and there's your name and you know that that's your place right there at the table. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus said He has went to prepare us a place. Has your place been prepared this morning? Even there's so much in these three short verses. There's things in these verses that we need and that we need to know. There are things in these verses that will change our focus. It'll change our outlook. It'll change our perspective. Amen. These verses are perspective changing verses. And I believe not just His disciples, but through these verses, Jesus was attempting to change His people's focus. If we ever had a time, even for the people of God, that we needed a change in our perspective, it's the time in which we live. It's a wicked time. It's an evil time. It's a decaying time. It's a time of slipping back in every arena. If we need our perspective change, it's today. But Jesus knows how to change our perspective. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Tell me that don't change the perspective of things. I want you to notice in what Jesus is saying that should change our perspective. Number one, He's talking about the peace. The peace that we can have. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. The word troubled literally means it was a picture of turbulent waters. Waters that are rushing or waves that are crashing. And some folks' hearts are like that. Their emotions, their thoughts are turbulent. It's angry waves dashing about. Here in our context, the disciples, they were troubled. And rightfully so. They were deeply troubled by what Jesus had just said to them. Amen. Chapter divisions are not inspired. They were added many, many years later. And we make the break. We start chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. But why did Jesus say that? You've got to go back to chapter 13. But Jesus can look in their faces and see the trouble in their demeanor, their countenance. He could hear the discouragement in His disciples' words. Why? Because in chapter 13, He had just told them, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, and looking back in chapter 16, He said, but I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you ask me, where goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. The disciples were troubled. Jesus was saying He was going where none of them could follow Him. And He was speaking of His death. He was speaking of His crucifixion. Jesus went on to say that one of them should betray Him. He went on to say that even Peter, his closest perhaps, even Peter would deny Him. I mean, they're sorrowful. They're troubled. And just as the disciples experienced that trouble because their Lord was going away, there will be times for us as well when it seems that Jesus has left us, that He's nowhere to be found. He's went somewhere where we cannot walk with Him, and we too will be troubled. I'm going to tell you, even serving the Lord, there'll be times like the disciples. It'll seem like things couldn't be any worse. It will seem like we're all alone and the world is against us. I'll tell you what it feels like. It feels like Jesus has walked away and left America, and who can blame him? How many knows what I'm talking about? Troubling times. Even sometimes, even in our great worship, it seems like the presence of God is not as real as we would desire. And so these disciples were truly disturbed and sorrowful. Their Lord is leaving them. Jesus did not say that there were not things that would trouble us. He was admitting there are things that are troubling. Even there are troubling things that will happen to us. But what he is saying, when troubling things come our way, we don't have to let them trouble us. We don't have to let them get the best of us. We don't have to let them get us down and overcome us. Why? We can put our faith in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ, and that cancels out the troubling news. Hallelujah. Different things trouble different hearts at different ages, at different times. There are things that trouble our children. There are things that trouble our teenagers and young adults. There are things that trouble our young married couple. There are troubling things about middle age. There are troubling things about becoming a senior. I'm telling you, every age, every time, there are troubling things. It is troubling, Jesus said. But you don't have to let it win. You don't have to let it get you down. You don't have to be troubled. Why? Because there's a mighty God in heaven who has a plan for your future. Put your faith in God. And if you can believe in God, he said, believe also in me. I'm telling you, the only answer for a troubled heart, the only answer for a troubled mind, the only answer for a troubled soul is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him. You see, the disciples were troubled because of the immediate circumstances. But Jesus said, don't be troubled. Look to your future. Jesus said, it's not the sorrow you have now. It's the joy I've got prepared for you in the future. Isn't that wonderful being a Christian? No matter how bad it gets in the here and now, we know about the sweet by and by that awaits us. He was changing their perspective. They were facing loss and loneliness in the present. But he said, Jesus said, now it's not all there is to it. You don't have to be troubled with the now when you look ahead or look forward to what's ahead of you. In other words, Jesus is saying the story's not been finished. The goal hasn't been. Jesus is saying you're not home yet. I remember a song that says ahead, ahead. I'm telling you, Jesus changes our perspective. We're troubled by the now, but he said don't be troubled by the now. Look ahead, 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 ahead for the believer. However bad things get, we're headed to a better place. However tough the journey, we have a great destination. Hallelujah. Whatever's going wrong right now, it'll be made right then and there. Amen. I remember talking to a pastor friend some years back that was having a lot of troubling things happening, not only with his church, but with his work and things. And I asked him, I said, are you ever troubled by what might happen? You know, with the church and business and maybe lose your home and your income. Are you troubled by that? It's a close friend. He comes from a family that has a large farm and they parceled it up to different siblings, which would be his parents and his dad's siblings. And here's what he said, and this is what I want to get to. He said, no, that never bothers me because it doesn't matter how bad things get. It doesn't matter if I lose my home. It doesn't matter if I lose my job. If things get too bad, I know I always got a place on the farm to go to. That's what Jesus is saying. He didn't say things would never get bad, but He said no matter how bad they get, you may lose your job, you may lose your home, and nobody wants to see that. But Jesus said, you can know something, however bad things get, you've got to know something. I've got a place for you in heaven. Hallelujah. There's a place you're going to. And because of all that, I said all that in heeded too, to get to the peace, because of all that, Jesus says, yes, I'm going away, but when I leave, I'm leaving my peace with you. You can have peace until our reunion in heaven. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Let me say, in 2013, with troubling things happening, if you are a believer, Jesus, as He went to prepare the place, He has left a peace for you and I. We need not be troubled. The world can't give you that peace. The world can't give you that security. But He has given a peace. Does that change the perspective of things? Secondly, it's the preparation. Look at verse 2. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I mentioned it today. We can call ahead and make reservations. That's what we do. We call ahead. They didn't have phones, internet in that day. So how did they make reservations? They sent a person ahead on the journey to make the reservations. I remember at the Last Supper, what did Jesus do? He sent two of His disciples to go to the village and reserve the room, so to speak. Couldn't call. You sent someone to do it. Jesus says, I'm that one. I'm going ahead of you, just like a servant would. I'm going ahead of you to get the place ready, to reserve the room. So when you get there, they can say, come on in. Your room is ready. I'm talking about preparation. Now, I want you to get a hold of something. We missed this. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Let's go back to that verse if you would. I go to prepare a place for you. Then He said, that's fine, leave it here. In My Father's house are many mansions. What we got to understand, it's really not the mansion He's going to prepare. He's going to prepare the way that we can go to the mansion. You see, first and foremost, He's not going to heaven right now. When He said, I go away, and you read the context, you read the chapters, He's not saying right now, I'm going to heaven. He says, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to the tomb. Then I'll go into the throne room and present My blood as the atonement for your sins. So first and foremost, the preparation was not building the mansion. The preparation was making the way where we could go to the mansion. Hallelujah. And He prepared the way by the cross. Look what He says in verse 33, little children, yet a little while am I with you, you shall seek Me. Where I go, you cannot come. Look in verse 36. Even Peter said, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow Me now, but thou shalt follow Me afterwards. That's the persecution, and Peter by tradition died on the cross as well. Peter said, Lord, why can I not follow Thee now? Peter understood he wasn't going to heaven. He said, I'll lay down my life for Thy sake. Jesus said, wilt thou lay down thy life for My sake? Behold, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow until thou hast denied Me three times. Jesus has told us where He's going to make preparation. And it wasn't to heaven. It was to the cross.
cross. That was the preparation for our place. Aren't you glad He made that preparation? Amen. You say, wait a minute. Is His building involved wood and nails? Yes, His building involved wood and nails, but not to frame out our mansion. The wood and the nails is what was used to nail our sins to the cross when they nailed Him there. That was the preparation for my place. Oh, it was more costly than blueprints and supplies. It cost Him His life. We miss that. The preparation. But yes, since there is construction in heaven, and Jesus is the great designer and creator, I'm sure He's been working on our dwelling place as well. Hallelujah. Someone noted rhetorical. 2,000 years ago, He said He went to prepare a place. Can you imagine what it's going to look like if Jesus has been working on it for 2,000 years? If He created the earth the way He did, can you imagine what that's going to look like? That's great. That's wonderful. But it was because of the cross that He can build us a place in heaven. It's because of the cross that we can go there. His preparation was the cross. I heard the song this week. The only thing there that's been made by man are the scars in my Savior's hand. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place. And in other words, my going is for your benefit. I'm leaving for your benefit. What was one of those benefits? The disciples could not see how His leaving them alone was to their benefit. But here's one benefit. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. What is the preparation? It's going to the cross, but it was also ascending to the right hand of the Father and pouring out the Holy Ghost. That's the preparation that He went through so we could go there. Why was it important for Him to pour out the Holy Ghost? Because Jesus, get this, Jesus went away to prepare us a place, but He sent the Holy Spirit to prepare us for that place. That's why the moving of the Holy Spirit is so important. Hallelujah. I've seen a number of people texting while I was preaching. People think the preacher's blind, but I've seen it this morning. It's important to listen to the Holy Spirit in a message, because the only way you're going to get to that place is to follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I can see with my glasses off now. Because I'm weird. I started out farsighted. Spent a big portion of my life nearsighted. Went back to the doctor 2 years ago. I'm farsighted again. Maybe we can call it, well, anyway. We need the Holy Spirit to get to that place. We need the Holy Spirit to get us there. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Twice this week, once at Kroger's and once at Walmart, and this is a little commercial plug. I don't get paid for mentioning their names. No sponsorship. But I've seen people walk in there. I know this is going to be real old-fashioned. I mean, you're going to say, is he stuck in the past? I've seen people go into Kroger's and Walmart and their pajamas, flannel pajamas. You might have been raised poor, but I guarantee you, when you went to town, you put on the best you had. Isn't that right? That's why the brother pastor in the area, he'd be out working, but he'd have his suit on under his coveralls. It's like Superman, I'm ready to go visit. We were out yesterday, and I had blue jeans on, but there's someone I need to see. I almost felt like I sinned making a pastoral call with blue jeans on. Oh, you did too? Now, look, I'm not talking about the propriety of dress. I'm just saying there's something in the psyche today that you don't need to get prepared for anything. I'm not talking about spiritually. Folks need to come as they are. I'm not even talking about physical clothes. Because if you don't have dress clothes, you come to church anyway. Come as you are. That's not the point. The point is there's something in people's psyche that they don't think they need to make any preparation to go anywhere. Amen. I heard Brother Clendenin saying on a tape, he said he went to his grandson's church. He said the pastor was up there, it was a mega church, preaching in a sweatsuit. He said if he had heard that the president was going to be there that morning, he wouldn't have had that on. But since it was just God, he felt comfortable to wear. And I know all that. I know God doesn't care about what I'm trying to say. It's an attitude. You just crawl out of bed and think you're ready to go to town and meet with people in your flannel pajamas. And that attitude has got a hold of people's spiritual sight. That they can just live any way they want to live, do anything they want to do, even never really call on God, never be saved, and yet they're going to heaven anyway. Well, I want to tell you something. The clothing thing, be as it may, nobody's going to go to heaven without the right clothes on. And I'll tell you what the right clothes are. Even it's to come to Christ and say, forgive me a sinner. Clothe me with the righteousness that you want at Calvary. Amen. Cleanse my mind, my heart, my life. Cleanse me in the blood. That's the way we go. There's preparation to be made. Oh, I've got to hurry on. There's preparation to be made. Jesus took great pains to prepare us a place. Shouldn't we put great passion into being prepared for it? Now I want to talk about the place. Verse 2. I go to prepare a place for you. Now listen, I'm trying to be faithful to what is really said. I'm not trying to upset an apple cart of previous conceptions. But we've done a very American thing with this verse. We've become mesmerized with the word mansion and missed the point. Let me tell you how it happens. When I was growing up, the only real money in Oklahoma was in oil. That's before the Middle East. And there were oil booms everywhere in Oklahoma. And I remember, used to go for drives too, you know. Didn't have television and all that. I remember that we used to take a drive. Oh, some of you are looking at me like, well, I'd take a drive. And we'd go driving. And we would pass these huge mansions. And we'd go, oh, look at that. And almost every case, it was a mansion that came about because somebody got rich with oil. And so I want to tell you something. This is the honest thing. When I got older and began to hear songs saying like, you know, just build my mansion next door to Jesus and I've got a mansion. Every time I heard the word mansion and read this text, in my mind, I couldn't see anything except those big oil mansions. That's what came to my mind. Then I got to realize that wouldn't be what was in the Chinese mind at all. They wouldn't be thinking, they don't have oil mansions over there. And we stumble on this word mansion, and we almost get materialistic. Hey, do you see my mansion? Oh, it's going to be nice. And we miss the point. First of all, look what it says here. In my Father's house. In His house. In His house are many mansions. How many mansions you got in your house? Literally. It literally means in my Father's house are many dwelling places. You see, we missed the point. It's not about having this big construction. Amen. 13 bathrooms, a tennis court, and a swimming pool inside. And you know, all, you know, 13,000 square feet. It's not about that. The whole point Jesus is making, that place where my Father dwells, that place where He is in all His glory and presence, that place where my Father dwells, I'm going to prepare a place where you can dwell where He dwells, where you can dwell in His presence. I'm going to have a place specified and reserved where you can spend eternity in my Father's presence. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Oh, it's a dwelling place. Different cultures, there's different constructions. But look, in heaven, you don't need a roof. It'll never rain. You don't need walls. There's not cold or heat. So don't get caught up in an idea of a physical construction. I'm not saying they're not there. I'm not saying there's not many beautiful places. But if we're into the material side of it, we'd miss the point. The wonderful thing is, because of Christ's preparation, we can dwell where He dwells for eternity. How He's tired of dwelling where we dwell. We're going to dwell where He dwells for all eternity. In my Father's house are many mansions. There is a resting place for the people of God. We used to sing, Sister Rose, "Come and go with me to my Father." That song got it right. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Not to see my mansion. Come and go with me. What we say? Where there's peace. Peace. There'll be no sickness there. In my Father's house. Oh, there'll be no devil there. In my Father's house. Hallelujah. There'll be no taxes there. In my Father's house. Hallelujah. That song got it right. It's not about a material construction. It's about being where God is. For all eternity. Two little things here that ought to get us excited. First of all, there's plenty of rooms there. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Hallelujah. Not only is there room at the cross, there's room in heaven for every person. Not only are there plenty of rooms, it's a personal thing. I've got a place for you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I do wonder if there'll be any empty rooms. I do wonder if there'll be rooms Jesus prepared for those that turn Him down and turn back. Now, I know I'm not getting to this. I know God knows everything. He knows the future. He knows everybody that's going to make it to heaven and everybody that doesn't. He knows that. But let me imagine that Jesus has prepared places for people that used to serve Him and they no longer serve Him. People that used to follow Him and they turn back. People that He's called and they say no, no, no. He's prepared a place and it'll be empty because they're not willing to go. You say, why would you say that? Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to tell you something else. He went to prepare us a place, but He never ever prepared a place for the ungodly and unbeliever. You said, what about hell? Well, let's talk about hell. He never prepared hell for the unbeliever, the ungodly. He prepared hell for Satan and his rebellious followers. And if you go to hell, you'll go to a place that was not prepared for you. But if you go to heaven, you'll go to a place He has prepared. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, get a hold of our hearts. How many's glad He's prepared a place? I want you to know, church, He's prepared a place at His table. You've got a place in the book of life. There's a place for you with Him on His throne. There is a place beside the crystal sea. There is a place in His presence. There is a place within the glow of the Lamb who is the light. There is a place in the company of the saints. There is a place in eternity. There is a place in the Father's house. And I want to go. He has saved that place. Our place is not only hell. Our place is not this world. If you fit into the world, it's because you've made a place here for yourself. Your place is in heaven. Amen. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, went out, not knowing whither he went. He obeyed. Went out, not knowing whither he went. Amen. How could he do that? He dwelt in those tabernacles, those tents, with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. Why did he go out? Because he was looking for a city whose builder, which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. I'm telling you, can tell the folks that are convinced God has a place for them. They are those that are looking for that city that have foundations of whose builder and maker is God. Oh, we used to sing it and get happy. I'm looking for a city where we'll never die. There, the saint of millions never say goodbye. Oh, hallelujah. Are you looking for the place He's prepared for you? And then this is perspective changing, because the promise within the promise. Look at verse 3. I will come again. There's a lot out there today, it's taking the church world, that Jesus only comes again by the Holy Spirit. He only comes again by saving somebody. I say that's foolishness for this reason. He said He would come the first time. And the first time He came literally and physically in person. And if He says, I will come again, it's going to be just like the first time. It's going to be literally, physically, and in person. How many believes that? The trumpet's going to sound. The Lord Himself shall ascend from heaven. Jesus' promise when He left them was twofold. He said, I'll send the Holy Spirit to you and I will come again. I'm going to be gone, but I've only went ahead to prepare the place. And I'll send the Holy Spirit to bring you to that place when I come for you. We not only have the promise of this place, we have the promise that He's going to get us there. If you trust in Him, you're going to make it. If you put your faith in Him, you will make it. He's promised not only to prepare the place, but He's promised to come and get you there. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen with a child or somebody sick and there's someone there, mom, dad, friend, comforting them? They start to leave the room and the child or the sick or the injured will say, oh, don't leave me. Don't leave me. And what does the person say? It's okay. I'll be right back. How many knows what I'm talking about in our real life, practical life? That's what the disciples were saying. They're alarmed. Oh, Jesus, don't leave us. Don't leave us. But what did He say to them? It's okay. I'll be right back. Hallelujah. How many believes Jesus is coming again? Last of all, to change our perspective is the person Himself. I've prayed over this message, oh God, help us to see You. Help it to be about You. Because this promise is about the person. Look at verse 3. If I go, I will come again. That where I am, there you may be also. Where I am, you may be also. Could I tell this church and remind us of heaven is first and foremost the place where Jesus is. It's not, Sister Brock, I know we can get carried away with that. Thank God for it. But it's not about streets of gold so much. It's not so much about gates of pearl. Amen. Heaven is first and foremost about it being the place where Jesus is. Hallelujah. Amen. I counted up 8 times and these 3 short verses. Reference is made by Himself. Reference is made to Jesus. 8 times and 3 short verses. Heaven is about Jesus. In chapter 16, Jesus said, you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. It's about the person. And then in chapter 17 and verse 24, Jesus prayed, Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me. Listen to this. I will that they, those whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Be with me where I am. That they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Do you hear what Jesus is praying? Father, it's my desire that those that Thou hast given me be with me where I am. I want to tell you the desire of our Savior. And that's every person in this building, every mom, every dad, every child, every teenager, every young married couple, every family. It's His desire that for eternity we be with Him where He is and to see the glory of the Lord throughout all eternity. Oh, doesn't it do something to your heart to know that He wants to spend eternity with you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We sing, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Now I want to tell you, I'm just about done. What I preach in heaven holds no real attraction to those who are enamored and entangled in the world. It really doesn't attract them. Heaven holds no real attraction to those that genuinely are not attached to Jesus and love Him. But it's like that song that came out in the early 70s. The sentiment was, Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. If you're not into Jesus, you're really not into heaven except for an escape from hell because you don't like pain. To really be into heaven, you need to really be into Jesus. And the only ones that will enter into heaven are those that have entered in to Jesus. Would you come, music? Now, I'm going to tell you my point before I give you this final story. In our society today, listen to me, listen all across today. We have made the biggest question of people's lives, who am I? We've told people that's what they should be asking. Who am I? I think in light of eternity, the most important question in our life ought to be, where am I going? The story is told about Albert Einstein, you know, relativity, the greatest physicist of the last century. Up in years, leaving Princeton on a train, just pulled away from the station. The conductor comes by to collect tickets, and he asked Albert Einstein for his ticket. He felt in one pocket, he felt in the other, felt in all of his pockets. He opened his briefcase, he looked in there, looked in the seat around him, couldn't find the ticket, and the conductor said, "That's all right, Mr. Einstein. Everybody on the train knows who you are. And they know you're a person that would have paid for your ticket. It's okay, you can't find your ticket." Mr. Einstein said, "Fine, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, sir." The conductor went on through the car. He came to the end of the car, was getting ready to go into the next car, and he looked back, and there is Albert Einstein on his knees looking frantically underneath the seat, just looking everywhere. He went back up the aisle and he said, "Mr. Einstein, I told you it's all right. It's okay. I know who you are. I know who you are. It's okay. You don't have to be doing that." Einstein looked up at him and he said, "Mr. Conductor, thank you so much." He said, "But I know who I am too. The problem is I got to find my ticket because I have no idea where it was I was going." I want you, the most important question this morning isn't that you find yourself. How many times has that led people out into sin and destruction? "I've got to find out who I am." The most important question this morning isn't who you are. I'm not preaching the message that we're Christ and we're saved. I'm telling you, the most important thing this morning is, where are you going? Where are you going? Rapture? Death? Destruction? North Korea? Where are you going? Hallelujah. I'm glad to know He's went to prepare a place for me, and I want to follow Him all the way to that place. Let's stand and thank Him for His promise of a place. Would you praise Him? And as you praise Him, pray that God would touch hearts in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him across the building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise You. 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 Lord, deal with us. Jesus, be Jesus in this place. Show Yourself as the great Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The question is this morning, are you ready? Are you prepared for the place? If you're here this morning, you don't feel like you're prepared for heaven. I want you to come to this step we use as an altar. Would you begin to come right now? Just be real honest. You don't feel like you're prepared for heaven. Would you come right now? Let's pray, church, all over the building. Amen. All across the building, from front to back. You're here. Are you prepared for the place? Will your room go empty through all eternity because you did not let God prepare you? If you need to be prepared for that place, I wouldn't hesitate. I wouldn't be concerned about what the person next to you thinks. I'd come right now and say, before I leave this house, I'm going to be prepared to go to heaven. Are you here? You're not prepared for the place. Don't hesitate. The enemy, he'll tie you up. The enemy will distract your mind, and you'll leave here unprepared when you don't have to. You can leave here prepared for heaven. Are you here? You'd like to come right now. Amen. Would you come right now? Come on right now. Praise saints. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you went through that cross. You suffered. You bled. You died that we could be prepared for heaven. Listen, don't fool yourself. If you're not into Jesus, you're not into heaven, and you won't get there. Be into Jesus this morning. Put your faith in Him, your trust. Be passionate about pursuing Him. Are you here? You need Christ this morning. You want to be prepared for heaven. Amen. Amen. That stands open. Keep praying, saints. Are you here? And you are troubled, but you want Jesus to change your perspective this morning. Turn your attention. If you've got a troubled soul, you just like to say, I'm going to put my faith in God. I know it's a troubling thing, but I refuse to be troubled. Would you come right now and bring your troubled heart and mind to the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus, you've made it so I don't have to be troubled. Would you come right now? Anyone troubled in heart and mind, would you come? Are you in the house? Amen. Do you need to make preparation for heaven? Hallelujah. Would you come? Anyone? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here, you're determined. You are determined that if He has prepared you for you a place, you are determined you're going to make it to that place. Never turn back. Never give up. Never get up. If you're determined to make it all the way, would you come and fill these altars and thank Him that He's prepared a place for you? As the church is coming to pray, if you need to make preparation for heaven, come and join them. Come right in. If you're here and you're troubled, bring your troubled heart to the Lord. Bring your troubled soul to the Lord. Hallelujah. Be not troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. You're going to say it to Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. Thank God He's made preparation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do you need to make preparation? Come. Come. You can be prepared before you leave Him. He's prepared you a place.
How beautiful heaven must be.
Oh, how beautiful.
And happy and free.
Oh, yes.
There haven.
You can be prepared for that place.
Weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
Oh, how beautiful.
Need a place that's called heaven.
Don't leave here unprepared.
It's made for the pure and
He's not only preparing the place, He'll prepare
these
you for the place.
These truths and God's word He has given. How beautiful heaven must be.
Oh, let's thank Him for it. Thank
how
Him for it. Thank You that You made me a place. Thank You that You prepared me a place.
Sweet home of the happy and free. The weary.
I go, and if I go, I will come again. I will come again.
And all who will drink may be free.
Father, I want them to spend eternity with me. Father, I want them to be where I am. Father, I want them to see your glory. Oh, come on, church. He's prepared us a place. I'm going to go
home of the happy and free.
I'm not giving up.
There
I'm not quitting.
No rest for
I'm not stopping.